Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Thursday already. Good afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme today, 51551 ray at rte.ie. So we're nearly halfway through January. Come on, the 11th. Nearly halfway through it, yeah. We're more than halfway through the week. And this week we have introduced you to the, well, four so far, of the Eurovision hopefuls. They will be participating in our Eurosong selection on the Late Late Show on the 26th of January, on Monday. We spoke to Erica Cody and listened to her song, Love Me Like I Do. Erica Cody, on Tuesday, we met Elsha, spelt A-I-L-S-H-A, and we listened to her song, Gutubbin. I think it's the first song to feature on Will Cadogum, Dulgadi and Letters in the lyrics. Maybe I'm wrong. That's Gutubbin. Fi me sa kishin agus gutubbin coola me madra amwe. And then you can finish off that story. Yesterday we met two of the hopefuls. First, J Yellow L.
Working through the weekends, that's Saturday and Sunday. Hoping we can see M's and accolades someday. Hoping we can see M's and accolades someday. Be as consistent as all of my mum's prayers. We will see M's and accolades someday. And keep that smile on my mum's face, God's grace.
Hey.
J-L-O-L and Judas featuring Toshin. And also yesterday we spoke to Isabella Carney. She's in Nashville and her song is Let Me Be the Fire.
Did you call or did I just dream? Are you tired of the highs and lows? Take you home if you're out there freezing. Let me be the fire when your heart's gone cold.
They all sound good to me. We've two more for you to meet and hear today and tomorrow. We'll be doing that around 20 to 4 today and then same time tomorrow. Isabella Carney there. Yeah, and 26th of January, the selection process, the Eurosong will take place on the Late Late Show and you will have your say. You will have a vote. And whoever gets the most votes from you and the international jury and the national jury will be heading off to represent Ireland in May in Malmö, in Sweden. And you know all the facts and figures. We've won it seven times. They have now won it seven times. So is this the incentive we need to get back on the Eurovision horse and be victorious? Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. On awards and selections and international competitions, we were watching the Golden Globes last night. I know it was on Sunday and yesterday was Wednesday night, but didn't get time. We all sat down and I enjoy it. Joe Coy, is that his name? Joe Coy, he was the MC. He's a 52-year-old comedian of Asian heritage. And it's a tough job. Everyone said, even like people like Emma Stone, they said it's a tough audience. It's a very tough audience and they're very close to you. I don't know if you watched it, but it's in the round and it's like in a ballroom, you know, that you'd have a wedding in or a Debs or whatever. So low ceiling, people are right up against you. So you're there, you come out and there's Bruce Springsteen to one side, Nicolas Cage, Robert De Niro, Martin Scorsese, Emma Stone, Margot Robbie, they're all there just within sort of 20 feet of you and you're trying to slag them. Anyway, I really, really enjoyed it. Just spotting the people. And of course, our three were there, three Irish men. We can't get over that, lads. Three Irish actors nominated in the Best Actor category. Barry Keoghan, Andrew Scott and Cillian Murphy, who won it for Oppenheimer. But they had the guest presenters. They come out and they do a little bit of a routine. But my favourite was Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig, both of them hugely funny people. And it was so simple what they did. They were trying to be serious, Maria, And then they'd be interrupted by a piece of music played over the PA system. And they'd look around as trying to find the source of the music. And then it'd stop. And they'd carry on. And they go, and here we are to announce. And then again, they'd start again. See? And they'd look around. And they're getting a little bit perturbed. And you as a viewer were going, is this a setup or is there something wrong with the PA system? And then they'd be halfway through the next sentence and the nominations. And then if you look closely, you could see Kirsten Wiig's shoulder just doing a little up and down to the in time with the music. And then you looked at Will Ferrell and he was doing the same. Left, right, left, right, left, right. And then they broke into the funniest dance I've ever seen on would have been live at the time. And the two of them just danced around the stage to that piece of music. Fluffing a Duck. That's the name of music, the name of the piece of music. And it's free, so you can use it. But I know what I'll be doing the next time I'm doing a MCing something. I'll be bringing the Fluffing a Duck along and I'll be getting the man on sound to go, uh-huh, yeah. You just can't help but smiling. Can't help but smiling. The big winners in television were Beef and the Bear. And a lady called Io Adeboye won an award for the Bear. She was very excited and excitable. And people who follow things in movies and Ireland and people who claim to be Irish will know Io Adeboye because she did an Instagram post or some social media post back in 2023 claiming that she had auditioned for the role of Jenny the Donkey in The Banshees of Inisherin, which is very funny. So we're claiming her now as Irish. One of the English magazines has claimed Barry Keoghan as being British, as they do on a regular basis. GQ, thank you very much, GQ. But now we're claiming Io Adeboye. And she gave a lovely speech. She was just young and excited and so delighted to be there. And she was looking at all these people who were heroes of hers. Some of them were winning Golden Globes and Oscars before she was born. And she couldn't believe her look. It was like she was in a dream.
Agent and manager's assistants, to the people who answer my emails, y'all are real ones. Thank you for answering my crazy, crazy emails. Yeah, I'm really, really grateful. If I forgot to thank you, I'm sorry. Unless you were mean or something. Okay, bye.
Yeah, unless you were mean or something. And she turned on her heels and off she went. Yeah, if you didn't see it, it's up there to watch back. I'd recommend it. It's entertaining. It was last year, or it could have been the year before, or it could have been 5 years ago. That's the way time's gone. But we spoke to a lady who was born in Scotland and was living in The Hague. Her name was Julie Scott. And she had set up a group called Screech on the Beach. And her mates would congregate on a beach and they would scream at the sea. That's what they did. And she spoke to us about the benefits of such behaviour. And I can see it. I can see it. Like, it's like the vocal equivalent of a punch bag, isn't it? So all your frustrations are building up inside you and you're biting your lip in work and you want to say this and you know you shouldn't and you think about it and you're and come Friday or whatever day, it's all there, all pent up inside, all pent up. And then you go down to the beach and you just let it all out and you scream at the sea and it just evaporates, just off on the wind, out into the ocean, and you feel a lot better for it. Well, the good news is, this Saturday, you can join Kieran MacDonald at Gary Lucas Beach beside the old head of Kinsale. It's a group of women who are gathering to scream their hearts out at the sea. They're meeting at sunrise and Kieran and the group will set their intention with a guided meditation before walking to the sea and together releasing all of their unspoken emotions to the water. After they scream, it's into the wilds of the sea. And then they can have a cosy cup of tea, something sweet before closing the circle. That sounds like a lovely morning to me, and you'll feel the better of it. Screech on the Beach. I don't know what they're calling it down there in Kinsale. I don't know if they have a name for it, but they're Kieran MacDonald and her friends, Gary Lucas Beach, this Saturday morning, screaming at the sea. 5 on 551, Ray at RTE.ie. We'll scream and we'll see if Sinead the Unicorn can hear us. Sinead the Unicorn!
Well, I might have to scream back, Ray, because I'm here in the RDS for the BT Young Scientist Exhibition. And my Lord, the place is full of people, full of students, full of teachers, full of students who mightn't have anything to do with the actual projects that are on display here, but are here to give a bull of boss to their fellow students and to egg them on as they compete for the 60th year that this competition is taking place. And it's here in the RDS. There are catering staff next to me here. I tried to find the quietest spot, so hopefully you're able to hear me loud and clear.
You're coming in loudly and clearly, yes. Yeah, although you're only down the road, so if you shouted, we probably could hear you. It's hard to believe 60 years of the young scientists down there in the RDS. And you know, it's one of these secondary school competitions that's envied all over the world.
Envied all over the world, and it's always on in January, or it has been at least for the past few years. So it's really something to look forward to at the end of the year. It's like the beginning of 2024, the beginning of January. It's dotted into the diary, the Young Scientists Exhibition. And there are over 200 schools taking part here today, 219 schools to be exact, over 1,100 students. So they've been working at this not just for the past few weeks, but some of them that I spoke to today have been working on ideas, developing them for the past year or so. Yeah. Even during the summer, I was talking to somebody earlier on who was saying the summer months they were spent working on this project, developing it, and doing as much research as they possibly could before the date arrived.
Now, the science is the obvious thing, but there's also the social aspect of it.
Yes, and it is, there are categories this year, and there's an additional category. So there's the social and behavioural sciences, then there's the chemical, physical and maths category, technology, biology and ecological sciences, and a new category this year, health and well-being as well. So the 85 experts who are on the judging panel, they have their work cut out for them because they'll be going around to all the different stalls over the next few days. They'll be judging each... Oh, can you hear the announcements behind me there? I can barely hear myself. But yeah, they'll be going around to all the different stands. And then on Friday, they'll be giving out the prizes. So over 200 prize winners in total. Yeah. And then the overall winner will receive 7,500 euros. So I tell you, it's well worth their while to enter this competition.
And what I was referring to was the fact that there are so many teenagers from so many schools, from so many places all over the country in this building for a number of days. And, you know, people meet each other. That's what I was talking about, that social aspect of it,
Well, I was talking to a few students today, and I could see other students from another school behind me, and they were looking at the project. I'd say that they were eyeing up the competition, but at the same time they were thinking, oh wow, imagine what other people can do as well. And yes, I suppose getting ideas from each other as well. Yeah. It's like brainstorming, you know, when everyone's in the one room together, and that's exactly what's happening here. Everyone is in the one room together, and you get to swap ideas and I suppose get feedback as well from your peers.
Yeah. So officially opened by the president, was that yesterday or today?
That was yesterday. Micheál D. O'Higgins was here and he opened it officially.
Right. And then the awards, as you say, tomorrow night. And of course, they're all dreaming, or were the Collison brothers mentioned at all in any chats?
Well, not in the chats, but they do have a few images downstairs of all the people who have won the overall prize over the years. And the Collison brother, he's pictured on the display, and all the other winners from the past years as well. So
who did you meet then?
Well, I was out and about, and I met Eugenie first. She's from St. Mary's School in Macroom in Cork.
A lot of my classmates were talking about how they were choosing to turn to AI tools like ChatGPT for help on their assignments. And so I wanted to investigate what impact this had on students' creativity and learning achievements and innovative thinking.
Aha. It's the talk of the town, isn't it? Artificial intelligence. And it's been used by students not just in secondary but in third level as well.
And it's also the subject of many of the projects that you'll see if you pop down to the RDS over the next few days. A lot of people have chosen it as a subject, and why not? It is very topical at the moment.
And let's see what Eugenie found out from her project.
Over 80% of students found that AI tools were useful in coming up with prompts for them, like ideas and inspiration for their projects. But also, 60% of students found that it hindered creativity. They felt that they couldn't come up with project ideas anymore without it, and it diminished originality and authenticity in their work.
So good and bad.
Yeah, that's very interesting, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you met the threesome, the three amigos.
The three amigos, yes, we'll stay in County Cork. Jerome, Ben and Ryan, they all attend Mount St. Michael School in Cork. And you know yourself, Ray, when you buy fruit and veg, fruit and veg tend to go off. They don't have much of a shelf life or a fruit bowl life, maybe, to borrow a phrase from Jerome, Ben and Ryan. They've designed a fruit bowl that includes features that will help to extend the longevity of bananas. And they explained to me about their project.
We ran some tests on different colour lights, and we found that blue light had a major effect on the longevity of the banana.
It's a very simple white box that we made using a laser cutter in our engineering room. We have two fans either side to keep constant air ventilation. We have two LED lights on the top that shine blue LED light onto the bananas, and it's all powered by a 9-volt battery which is under a false floor and a switch to turn it on and off.
High tech and bananas.
High tech and so clever. Like when you see the board that they have at their stand and all the figures and facts that they have that have come from this project, all the findings that they have gotten, it's amazing. And the actual fruit bowl itself now, it's a prototype, so they will be developing it over the years.
Yeah,
the years that are to come.
Well, how did they get on? Let's find out.
As a result of the lights and fans, it increased the life of the banana by up to 6 days.
Wow. Yeah, well,
that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, put me down for one of those when they're available, when they're commercially available. I'll be buying one of those. Now, Alicia and Rebecca.
Yes, they're from Davis College in Cork, and they have created an item of clothing.
The aim of our project is to use assistive technology to aid the visually impaired with navigating their environment.
Well, we got our inspiration from car sensors and how they have car sensors on them that also help them to park or reverse when driving. And we thought that we could also implement the same idea into a jacket.
Wow. See, why hasn't somebody done that before?
That's so clever, so simple, but nobody else has done it.
Yeah,
that's
so,
the thing.
So they're sewed into the jacket and they're sensors for the visually impaired. Brilliant. So did they expand on it?
They certainly did. Wait till you hear them.
We first wired the jacket. We tried using a buzzer, but we decided not to use a buzzer because if you have beeping on your left and beeping on your right, it's too hard to hear. So we use vibration motors instead, and so it vibrates on your left or right depending which side of you the obstacle is on. Currently, it measures up to 50 centimetres away, but the vibration gets stronger as you get closer.
Brilliant. Brilliant in its simplicity.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's it. And it goes to show that they tested other things as well. You know, it didn't work out maybe with the sound, but it did work out with the vibrations. So it just shows the development that goes into all these projects as well. It doesn't happen overnight.
And a lot of the ideas for projects come from the students' personal experience.
Mm-hmm, they sure do. I met Dervla as well. She's from St. Finian's College in Mullingar in Westmeath. And she wanted to do an examination of the effects of early musical training on IQ. So if you're musically trained or if you're able to play an instrument or sing, does that have an impact on your IQ? She explained it to me.
I found out that people who are vocally trained have increased their CAT 4 test scores. And I found that the early years have a better effect on the IQ as well. Say you started when you were 12, you started piano for 1 year, that year would teach you the most, so it would increase your IQ more.
And in what terms does it increase your IQ?
Your mathematical ability, and like it like improves your concentration as well, since music does take a lot of concentration.
Do you play music yourself?
Yes. I started piano when I was age 9, and I do singing as well.
Yeah, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. The concentration level especially. Mm. If you have to learn a tune or if you have to learn how to play a certain note, you're focused.
Yes, yeah. That's Dervla there. Who else?
I met Brianna and Grace. They were from St. Mary's College in Derry. And when I saw their stand, I couldn't pass by without speaking to them because I know you had... an encounter with a few mosquitoes when you were on holidays recently.
Yes.
Yeah. So they wanted to figure out if you mix mosquito repellent with sunscreen, does it have any effect on the sunscreen and the impact of it? And that's what they focused on for their project.
What we've discovered is that you can, and that the mosquito repellent or insect repellent will not have any effect on how well the sunscreen works. We put it through our data logger to see the transmittance of the UV being absorbed, and we saw that there was a low transmittance, which means that the UV is being absorbed and the sunscreen is doing its job.
So win-win.
Yes, exactly.
No more bites and no more burn.
You can continue to use mosquito repellent and sunscreen.
Yeah, I wonder, has anybody combined the two in one product?
That would be great, a product to develop and put on the market.
Yeah, that's my copyright now. That's my copyright. That's my copyright.
Does that count?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. They're like, loads of people have loads of ideas. It's about the execution of the ideas. That's what counts, you know.
That's it. Because it's so easy to be talking and talking about, I could do this and I could do that. Yeah. And when you see somebody else create something, sure, that's easy. Why couldn't I do that? But why couldn't you? Why don't you do it if you want to do it?
Well, I've had so many ideas, Sinead. So many ideas over the years. Don't get me started. Now, finally.
You'll have to write a book. Finally, yes.
Now, finally, and then there was silence then. I'll play it in, and Marcus and Josh.
Fire starters were our eventual conclusion.
So you made fire starters out of coffee, Josh?
We use other used ingredients such as candle wax, used coffee grounds and dryer fluff, and then we light them on fire and we test them in a calorimeter. We found that our fire lighters were nearly twice as good as traditional fire lighters due to the fact that they lasted twice as long and were about a 10 degree difference between traditional fire lighters.
Could this be used in the future?
We believe it can. We're going to spread the recipe around. A few of my family members already use it.
Is that your job at home, to make it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But you're not here to make money, you were telling me.
Yeah, we're not here to make a profit. We're here to make a change.
Ah, Marcus and Josh. Yeah, make a change. Sorry about that. I know it's noisy down there. I should have been more plain in the hand over to you. Oh, there, Dr. Talk behind you. So they are using leftover coffee.
Leftover coffee grounds. So this is a sustainable alternative to traditional fire starters. So it's not just the coffee that they use, but they add other things as well, like fluff from the tumble dryer, candle wax, and they're experimenting and they're trying to come up with a solution that's better than the traditional fire lighters. Yeah. So as you heard there, Josh uses it himself at home as well. So that's
very
a good
effective,
start anyway.
Very effective.
Now, very effective. And they're from Ordscull Reach in Limerick.
Brilliant. And where are you going now?
Oh, I've been here since about 10 a.m. and I've seen only a few stands and a few projects at this stage. I could spend the entire day here. I'm going to go for another little bit of a wander. I'm going to have a look at a few more projects and I might find a few students to talk directly to you, Ray, in a little while as well about their work.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant stuff there, Sinead. Thanks so much for that. Thank you. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks, Sinead. That's Sinead and the Unicorn there. It's such an institution, isn't it? The BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition. That's its official title. I remember, I've been going down there on and off for 35 years. 35 years. Janie Mackers. And of course, a lot of the people who were working in industry in Ireland would have gone through that. And I see a man called Monaghan. He was the first winner back in 1965. And he was there earlier in the week to help people remember the early days of the Young Scientist. And more from that with Sinead later on. But first, we had them on last year. Three lads, Robbie, Oisín and Ross, and that's their new song, Mary's Pub. 5.5 minutes of loveliness. There's something, it just stopped me in my tracks. It came up on, Spotify give you the new releases. And it came up the other day in the car. I went, wow, 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 wow. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Amble is the name of the band and Mary's Pub is the name of that song. Now, we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. And there's a prize, yes. It's a two-night stay for two people in the Gateway Hotel in Dundalk. They're part of the I Knew A Collection Hotel Group. The Gateway Hotel is located just off the N52 in the middle of Dundalk. It's close to the Dundalk Institute of Technology. The iconic 14-storey hotel overlooks the Dundalk skyline and has become a well-known landmark in Dundalk. Only 1 hour's drive to Belfast and Dublin, making it the ideal base for a business or leisure trip. gatewayhotel.ie. Gatewayhotel.ie. Here's a qualifying question on this Thursday afternoon. Tom Cruise has signed a new deal with Warner Brothers. Is Tom the star of Top Gun or Top Cat? Tom Cruise has signed a new deal with Warner Brothers. Is Tom the star of Top Gun or Top Cat? 0818715925. That's 0818715925.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, our next guest was the subject of one of the most read articles on independent.ie over the last couple of days. Bernie O'Brien. And the story goes that you can run, Bernie.
Which can.
Yes, yes.
I can. Little bit.
Welcome to the studio. Saying at home, oh, what's the story in A Woman Can Run? Well, there is a big story, isn't there?
There's
a big story.
There is quite
too.
A story.
Yes, yeah. Your story. Are you okay where you are? You're relaxed and everything?
I am,
yeah,
I'm fine.
Great, great to bring you. And Pamela, your daughter's outside. She brought you down from Fox Rock.
Yeah.
And you lived there all your life.
Yeah.
Now, your story in running, and you thought that your running days were over, I suppose.
My running days were well and truly over. I had kind of a difficult few years. My husband died. My sister, who was my best friend, she died. Another sister fell, and she's in a nursing home now for life. It was just one thing after another. Yeah. And then I had to have a hip replacement.
Right.
And I was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
My word.
And many things can go.
Stop, world. Leave me alone. Pick on somebody else.
That would be nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you could be forgiven for, you know, going into the sit room, pulling the curtains and
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's sometimes when all of those things are heaped on us, we just go, no, I can't take any more.
Yeah. And COVID knocked everybody sideways.
Yeah.
It really and truly did.
Yeah.
But then I got...
How long were you married to your husband?
5.5 years.
How long were you married to your husband?
My husband is... Pamela was 4. The girl outside was 4.
Right.
Phelan was 2 and Noel was 11 months.
Right.
And that's... God, I don't even remember how long it is.
Yeah.
But...
So all of this, Parkinson's, a lot of death in the family, COVID. Can I tell people what age you are?
Yeah.
79.
I am.
And a hip replacement. Yeah.
Yes. And I'll be 80 the 10th of February.
Right. So that's close enough. A month.
Yeah, thereabouts.
So Exwell, tell us about Exwell.
My doctor recommended Exwell.
Right.
And it's the best thing that one of the best things I've ever done. There's so much camaraderie in it. There's just everything.
Yeah.
You're just encouraged to do so much, but there's no pressure on you at all. You just do it at your own pace. And there's always somebody to say, are you all right? Or I give you a hand there, or we'll do it. Everybody does.
Mm.
It's just brilliant. That's where I started the running. Didn't think I was going to. The guy that's down there said to me one day, do you think you want to do a bit of a run? And I said, no.
Right.
Arm across my shoulders. We do a few steps and we took it from there. And I now run 150 metres at top speed.
Wow.
And it's such an amazing difference.
Yeah.
It really is.
So describe the Bernie before the running and the Bernie after the running.
The Bernie before the running was enclosed in her own space. She was diagnosed with Parkinson's and kind of let the Parkinson's win. But then I started a dance class in Dunleary, the dance centre. And then I went to Exwell. And between the two of them, they gave me my confidence back because I had nothing.
Mm.
I had no confidence, no nothing. And I can't even describe how wonderful it is. like the Parkinson's takes over everything and you have to fight it. But fight it you do. And do you know something? If you fight long enough, you'll win. It's as simple as that.
There's a lovely defiance, isn't it? You're not going to get me. You're not going to get me.
No, it did get me for a number of years.
Yes, yeah.
But then getting the movement, and it took me a long, long time to recover from the hip replacement.
Mm. It's a big operation.
Yeah, and I wasn't a spring chicken.
Mm.
So that's it, right?
Yeah. And this word is overused, Bernie, but you are an inspiration. You know, because we're at that time of the year where people are going, you know, I should get up off my bum and I should do this. I should get active. Movement is so important.
Oh, God, yeah. And it doesn't have to be a dance class or a swim in the ocean. Or anything. A walk around the garden is just as good.
Mm.
And it'll work wonders for you in the long run.
Yeah. So your doctor recommended Exwell.
Yeah.
Because your doctor knew the benefits of exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just had to transfer it to me, which was no easy task.
No, but you'd been through the ringer, though. You know, I can understand completely.
Ray, at the end of the day, no matter who or what you are, you have to put one foot in front of the other.
Hmm.
And that's what gets you there in the long run.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, anyway.
So I see Pamela, who said your eldest daughter who came in with you, what did they think when you were telling them that you were running and dancing and doing weights and everything else?
They didn't believe me for the running.
Yeah.
So I just was over in the park in Captain Teely one day with them and I just handed them my walking stick to Noelle, the youngest one, and I said, "Fail and follow me," and I ran. And they were afraid of their lives. They were sure I was going to fall flat on my face. I didn't.
And there's video evidence of you running as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant story. Brilliant story. Yeah. And would you hope now by sharing your story that you'd inspire other people?
Oh, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing special about me. Not a single iota. But I'm not going to let Parkinson's win. I really and truly am not.
Mm.
And I'm going to continue with the running because there's nothing like the
hit, the buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is. Yeah. Like I'm bored listening to myself trying to sell it to people, but it's there. It's free.
Yeah.
Like most of us can do it.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. And like it's medicinal for you, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is. Because beforehand, I wouldn't talk to you at all. I mean, I meet up with a group of friends on a Thursday morning and we were talking about it today. And they were saying that when the first few times I went over to meet them, I never opened my mouth. Now I've the confidence to talk and I never shut my mouth.
Yeah, because you were broken, I suppose, by everything, by the Parkinson's and everything else. And
there was a hell of a lot going on,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I understand that.
But you have to fight.
Yeah. And now you're in the middle of it all, in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be there.
So how many of, you did it this morning, did you? So you're the Thursday Club, are you?
Yeah.
Like Richard Osman's book.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope there's no murders involved or anything like that.
Well, my three call it the Thursday Murder Club.
Yeah, they call it the Thursday Murder Club. Right. It's a great book if you get a chance to read it.
Oh, I've read it.
Oh, you read it. Yeah. Great, Jeff. You read his other one. He's the second one now, or maybe a third one. Yeah.
Third one, I think.
Yeah. Talented writer and presenter and loads of other things as well. Bernie. Yeah, I'll say it again. I've said it already. You're an inspiration. And thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story with us.
Thank you for listening to me.
No, thanks. That's Bernie O'Brien there. Thanks, Bernie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, all this week, we've been introducing you to the six Eurovision hopefuls who will take part in this year's Eurosong on the Late Late Show on the 26th of January. We've done four, two to go. Today it's Act 5, Song 5, and we say good afternoon and welcome to Dublin from Cork. Bambi Thug!
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Yay! So, Macroom, living in Cork, bit of London as well.
Yeah, so I grew up in Macroom. I'm back in Cork now, but I spent 11 years in London actually.
Right.
I went over there to study musical theatre and then stayed for music and then was building my career over there pretty good. And then all of this came about and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Ireland. And it feels kind of full circle to be back in the studios because last time I was here I was 12 and I was in DDN Star Search. I did Dustin's Daily News Star Search when I was 12. Yeah, I sang I Won't Say I'm in Love from Hercules and got wildly bullied after it in school. But it feels like a...
So you've been always a performer?
Always, always. Me and my sisters used to like rewrite, we rewrote Food, Glorious Food to be Shoes, Glorious Shoes. We put on loads of shows as kids.
Right, yeah.
And then I was the lead in my school shows and then I just continued being like wanting to be in the
Now front. It's mad because musical theatre has become a huge part of the Eurovision in a way, hasn't
it? Yeah, well, I think Eurovision is quite theatrical.
Yes.
And I guess the Eurovision platform is open to so many more varieties of music than just, say, the stereotypical commercial types. And I think that's why it appeals to me a lot, is because my stuff is a bit more eclectically alt and fusion of things and theatrical. So I'm like, please.
And your genre is Ouija pop.
Yes, Ouija pop.
And that's a phrase you coined yourself.
Yeah, because I'm a songwriter at heart. I've songwritten for people for years and I've done multiple things. I have a secret jazz project.
Right.
I write all styles and I think I like to fuse everything and everything always is tinged with the occult language. My pagan roots, obviously, I love. Ireland is the home of witchcraft, so... Ouija pop, yeah, it kind of just fits for me. It allows me to do, it's like whatever I do, whether it's a country song or anything, it's still going to be witchy. So that's Ouija pop, any genre by me.
Right. Yeah, I'm just looking at it here. You've got great reviews for your shows. So this is the Evening Standard. Another thrilling outlier was Irish-born, London-based electro-rapper Bambi Thug, whose confrontational performance art set had a genderqueer, occult-tinged, strikingly theatrical edge.
Yeah, Download was last summer, biggest point in my career, and it got wildly reviewed. It got such good reviews. I was so... It's not really a festival that would have before lent itself to my type of music because it's very rock and metal, and there is rock and metal in my music, but it was... The tent was packed and I was received so well. It was gorgeous.
You're impossible to ignore.
Bambi. I am, I'm annoying.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good review. Impossible to ignore.
Impossible to ignore,
Bambi
yeah,
Thug.
I like that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So Ouija pop, so this is, to my ear, right, it's a fusion of sort of nearly, not speed metal or death metal, but some variation of that has a sort of a dance beat behind it.
Yeah.
And then there's a lovely melodic break in the middle.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so basically for this song, I was working with... Cassiette, who actually does backing vocals on the song, and guitars are by Sam Matlock from Orgasm, who I toured with actually at the start of my journey, and my producer Tyler Ryder, and we kind of were in the studio just messing, and we were like, can we just write something that like nobody's heard? Can we try and make a like weird alt witchy verse go into a pop chorus, go into a middle eight that's jazzy, that goes into like an electro metal?
Right.
And then we were like, we finished it, and we were like, yes, we can.
Genre defying.
Yeah.
Ouija pop. See, I'm writing all the reviews.
Yeah,
here.
I think it's quite. It's. I always say it's quite an ADHD song. You know, because it kind of jumps.
Do you have ADHD?
Do you know what? I am undiagnosed, but I am definitely on the neurospicy spectrum.
Neurospicy. Neurospicy. That's what you want to be.
Yeah.
They're neurospicy.
That'll be my new artist name in the next project. Yeah.
It's not a bad one.
Yeah.
It's not a bad one. So Doomsday Blues.
Doomsday Blues.
Song 5, you are Act 5, just for your information.
Wicked.
Are you ready for this?
I'm very ready.
Is this the first time?
This is my first like been national played on Irish radio. Tape
yay, yay.
Radio.
Here we go.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot in that, isn't there?
There's a lot in that. I think it just kind of shows all the facets of me.
Yes.
In one thing.
And like you, that song is impossible to ignore.
Yeah.
Impossible to. What would it mean to you to represent Ireland in the Eurovision?
It would be incredible. I mean, it's something I've always thought about doing. And I think being given a platform, that's one of the biggest stages in the world. I think I could really command the stage, and I would be so honoured to represent Ireland. And I think that, you know, we need to shake up the competition. And I want that stage. I want the big stage. I want the theatrics. I would be so proud of myself and of Ireland. And I don't even know what it would mean. It would change everything. And yeah.
It's a big shop window now, isn't it?
Yeah, gorge.
Yeah. Very Billie Eilish to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, you'll take that.
I've been compared to that as well before, actually. Yeah.
And what about the Eurovision? Is there any standout moment for you over the years?
Last year was really nice because my friend Luke Black was representing Serbia with Samo Misa Spava. I just want to sleep forever. The producers of that are also one of my producers.
I see, yes.
So it was a very proud moment. I also love Conchita.
Oh, Conchita, yeah. Conchita changed everything.
Yeah. Open doors, I guess.
Yeah. It was always a very inclusive competition, but Conchita said, look, this is who we are.
Yeah.
This is who we are.
Yeah, I think as well it would mean amazing things for me to get the opportunity to do it, because I feel like I represent a massive proportion of the country that is underrepresented, being the queer community, and I just think we need to celebrate queers and the LGBTQA and yeah,
I'd never be able to say it like that.
Say what? LGBTQA?
Yeah,
it's from a meme. It's this little girl. She's like, look, mom, LGBTQA.
Well, I've loved meeting you.
Lovely to meet you. Thank you so much.
Bambi Thug. And the song is Doomsday Blues. And you will be on The Late Late Show on the 26th of January, 1 of 6. The genre is Ouija pop. Impossible to ignore. Bambi Thug, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And Bambi left me a lovely hand-printed T-shirt, Cathexis, which is her current album, which you can stream on Spotify or download wherever you download your music. So thanks to Bambi for that. Anish Tosha now in the Preskelton in Oakta, Lamari Nihulawan. Good. Thank you very much. 5 on 5, 5 on RayRTE.ie. Padraig says, would you not have a quick poll on songs aired so far to see which is the favourite? I think that'd be against the rules. Oh. Fluffing a duck. No, Padraig, we wouldn't be able to do that because there are certain rules which apply to the Eurovision. You know what I mean. You'll get your chance to vote on the 26th of January when you watch the Eurosong selection process on The Late Late Show. We've one more to go and that will happen tomorrow. But right now we have to play our Who Done It quiz. Yes. Two quizzes are standing by and one of them will win a prize. A two-night stay for two people in the Gateway Hotel in Dundalk. They're part of the I Knew A Collection Hotel Group. Located just off the N52, iconic 14-storey hotel overlooks the Dundalk skyline. Has become a well-known landmark in Dundalk, and it's an hour drive from Belfast and an hour's drive from Dublin as well. Gatewayhotel.ie. Gatewayhotel.ie. Hello, Caroline.
Hi, Ray.
Caroline,
how are you?
Yeah, good. Caroline Keogh in Balbriggan in Dublin.
Yeah.
You have a full house, it says here.
Well, not at the moment. I'm collecting two of my sons.
Yes.
They're just here now, and one of my daughters is in school.
Yeah.
And we're on our way back to make dinner now. Fish and chips.
Oh, lovely. Fish and chips. Great. Is that a favourite in the house?
Well, we have it maybe every 2 weeks.
Right. And do you do a tartar sauce with it?
The lads prefer No, we don't, no, actually. Right. The lads prefer steak, so...
Do they? Right, growing lads.
We
growing
try
lads.
To get the fish in, but yeah. They do prefer steak.
And your three teenage children have been encouraging you to take part in the quiz, I believe.
Yes, they're very excited now. So excited. I can't believe I got through.
So is that because you
first
always get...
First time to ring, Ray.
Is it?
First time.
Right, great, yes. Caroline. Is that because you always get the questions right when you're listening in the car or at home?
No, I don't, actually. But I really enjoy the show.
Yeah.
I try to listen
in. Thanks. That, we appreciate that. Really do. And you're a Montessori teacher?
Yes.
And you work part-time?
Part-time, yeah, in the mornings, yeah, five mornings a week.
And how's that working out for you?
Great. I'm in 20 years in childcare and I love my work.
Yeah.
Love working with young children.
They're great, aren't they?
They're amazing, yeah. And every day is different.
And they're still compliant.
They're great fun. Right, you learn something new every day.
That's a diplomatic answer there. Okay, thanks, Caroline. Jonathan Brown, say hello to Caroline, Jonathan.
Hi, Caroline. How's it going?
Hi, Jonathan. Good luck.
Jonathan is in...
Good luck here to you too, thanks.
Yeah, Jonathan's in Hunstown. Where's that in Dublin, Jonathan?
It's Blanchardstown.
All right, so both of you are sort of North County Dublin.
Yeah.
What are you up to today?
I'm the Judy Q today. I'm making a beef stew followed by a homemade lemon mousse.
Oh, look at you! Straight out of MasterChef. Have you got your...
With cheap shortbread biscuits.
Right. Are you on a hands-free or something there, Jonathan?
No. The phone is right up to me.
Oh, great. No, it sounds better now. Whatever you did, it sorted it out there. So a beef stew followed by what, did you say?
Homemade lemon mousse.
Right.
And cheap shortbread biscuits.
Cheap shortbread biscuits.
No, they have the Tesco yellow sticker on them, you know?
Right, yeah, but shortbread, like, you know, what is there not to like about butter and sugar mixed together?
Exactly, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Who are you cooking for?
The partner, Linda, and the son, Robert.
Right. And the beef stew, will it be that lovely, the beef has sort of fallen apart nearly?
Well, it's on since 1 o'clock, yeah.
Right,
and there's a bit of pearl barley, some turnip, some carrots, some onions, a bit of celery.
Nice.
And potatoes, of course.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm drooling here. Sorry, Caroline. I'm going to go with his stew over the fish and chips, if that's okay. I've changed my mind. Okay. Jonathan versus Caroline. You know the rules, lads. Three questions. I give you the category, then I ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, it's more difficult. You get 2 points for that. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck, Caroline. Good luck, Jonathan.
Thanks, Ray.
Good luck. Thank you. Good luck.
Yeah. Singers first, Caroline. Singers. Do you want a clue or not?
Singers. I go without a clue to start.
Without a clue.
I'm feeling brave.
Okay. Are there teenagers in the car with you? Or are they close by?
I'm not in the car anymore.
Okay. Well, they might
They're
shout at you.
They're in the car.
Okay. Right. 2 points. Who is this singing? Pop, it's showtime. Guess who's back again? I bet they know as soon as we walk in. Showtime. I'm wearing Cuban links. Yeah. Designer mix. Yeah. Inglewood's finest shoes. Woo-woo. Don't look too hard, might hurt yourself. Known to get the color red, the blue. Who do you think that is?
Bruno Mars.
It is Bruno Mars, yes. 24K Magic. Yes, well done. 2 points. Good start. Jonathan, singers for you too. Oops, thank you.
I think I'll have to go for Without a Clue.
Without
well.
A Clue,
yeah,
for
I
two.
Got that one. I knew that one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Who is this then? You'll probably know this. Everybody asks me why I'm smiling up ear to ear. But I know
nothing's perfect, but it's worth it after fighting through my No,
I have to take your first answer there. It's Beyonce.
Flippin' Beyonce.
Yeah, flippin' Beyonce. It is flippin' Beyonce. Listen, don't panic yet. It's early days, Jonathan. Right, second category, Caroline, Irish actors.
Irish actors.
What do you want to do?
I won't take a clue now.
You won't take a clue. Okay, for 2 points, name this Irish actor.
Yeah, so it's our writer-director, Sir Kenneth Branagh. He was brought up in Belfast. Go from 1969, when he was 9 years old, and follow the beginning of the conflict, which would go on for 30 years, be known as the Troubles, and it's a sort of 9-year-old boy's account of his family and how they were dealing with that situation.
Is it Jamie Dornan?
It is Jamie Dornan, yes. Yay! Yes. Yeah, well done. Yeah, yeah. Well spotted there. Now, Jonathan, you are under a little bit of pressure now. Irish actors.
I have to go without a clue.
To go without a clue. Okay, can you name this Irish actor for 2 points?
So that was that morning, and then the next scene was Drive-By Fruiting. It wasn't in the script. I get the beers, I'm walking back, I'm thinking this is going to take forever. Forever to hit me on the head. First one missed, second one is history. But it gave everyone a laugh.
Who's that?
Is it either Adrian Dunbar or Liam Neeson? It's one or the other, is it?
It's neither of them. It's either Adrian Dunbar or Liam Neeson or Brendan Gleeson or Colin Farrell. Or no, it's Pierce
Brosnan.
It's Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, flipping Pierce.
Yeah, Pierce and flipping Beyonce. He's talking there about when he was in Mrs. Doubtfire and Robin Williams hit him across the head with a fruit. Yeah, he was the new boyfriend. Remember, nobody liked him. Listen, Jonathan, lovely talking to you. I'm going to make a beef stew after talking to you. It sounds delicious. We're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah. Mind yourself. See you.
Bye.
Caroline, well done.
Yay!
Yay!
I'm delighted. My two sons are so proud of me now.
That's brownie points and cool points and all sorts of points.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Well,
they advised you to do it. You did it and you won. So there, everybody wins. Gatewayhotel.ie to see what's in store for you. 2 nights stay for you and a person of your choice. Great, Caroline. Good luck.
Fantastic.
See you. Bye.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're going back to Sinead and the Unicorn and the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition in a moment, but first this. Now we go live to the RDS and to Sinead and the Unicorn, who's down there at the BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray, from the Biological and Ecological Sciences section of the RDS. I've been walking around for the past half hour or so looking at different projects, and I've come across a project from St. Joseph's Community College in Clare, and it is very, very interesting. See, the smell is gone. That's S-E-A. It kind of reminds me of bang and the dirt is gone, but it's C and the smell is gone. And I've got Cara, Kian and Connor here by my side, and they're going to tell a little bit more about this really interesting project. They've had TDs come up to them in the past half hour. They've had judges and they've had people stopping them, asking them many questions. Their stand is very, very impressive.
Right. So, St. Joseph's Community College, Kilkee in County Clare. Hello, Cara.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, see, the smell is gone. I presume this is a play on words of some description.
It is.
Go on, explain yourself.
So our project is called Biolizer. So what we're doing is we're collecting seaweed from our local area and we're turning it into a biochar. And then with that biochar, we're mixing it with slurry, and then that gets rid of the smell of the slurry, and it also improves the soil quality then when you spread it on the land.
So the Irish countryside, if you have your way, is going to be odour-free.
It is, exactly, yeah. You won't have to worry about your washing on the line anymore now.
So is that what happens down the country, that the smell actually sticks to the washing?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Many times we've been told to run around the house now and close all the windows when Dad spreads the slurry, so, yeah.
And you'd be going out to a disco on a Friday night smelling the slurry. Now, you can't be having that.
Definitely not, no.
Now, Cara, the odd thing is, though, when you know, because obviously I'm from a town in the country originally, but now I live in Dublin, and when we drive down the country and there's slurry been spread, I wind down the windows of the car and I say to my children and my wife, there it is, the smell of the country.
Oh, I know. I bet you don't leave the windows rolled down for too long though.
So the science of it is that the seaweed, some chemical reaction with the slurry, and it takes the smell out of it. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, the biochar is able to absorb the ammonia and the slurry, so that's what gets rid of the smell.
How did you happen upon this?
Yeah, so this is actually our second year at the BET, so we decided to carry on our project that we had last year, which was Kelpolium.
So will I talk to Keane about that?
Do.
Yeah. Thanks, Cara, for the moment. So Keane,
my Cara's side here.
Yeah, how are you, Keane? Keane McNerney is also from St. Joseph's Community College. So this is your second year at the Young Scientist, Keane?
It is, yeah.
And this is the next step?
It is, yeah. No, last year there we were trying to produce a biofuel through the seaweed, but we kind of realised that it wasn't very viable, so we moved away from that and we tried to produce a biochar, which we were successful with. We got help there from Toos and Limerick, so we were very appreciative of them.
Yeah. And who's the teacher that helps you out through all of this?
That's Miss Egan. She's absolutely brilliant now. She's doing everything for us and she came up with us as well. And Miss Burke is here as well with us, so it's a big shout out to them too.
So Keane, having experience from last year, you're probably walking around with your chest out going, yeah, we know what's going on here. We've been here before.
Feeling like we own the place.
Yeah. So I was trying to get out of Sinead at the beginning of the show there today about the social element of the Young Scientist exhibition. Can you share a bit of that with us? Because there's, you know, thousands of teenagers from all over the country from different schools all in the one place for a number of days.
It's brilliant. Like, geez, we're meeting people here the whole time. There's people coming up to us, talking to us, and you meet loads of people that have similar interests and different interests, and it's great to just walk around, you know, and see the brilliant ideas that people come up with. You know, you wouldn't think of them in 1,000 years.
Yeah, there's a great buzz there, isn't there?
Oh, it's brilliant, yeah.
Now, your other teammate is Connor Crotty. Connor,
he's passing the headphones to Connor but just before I go to Connor, I would like to let you know that these guys are all in matching outfits. I know there are people here in school uniforms, but you should see the outfits that the three in front of me are wearing.
Go on.
Kilkey Community College on it, but Massey Ferguson as well, and on the back it says, "See, the smell is gone." So they are well prepared for this competition. Black and red, just the same colours as the Massey Ferguson on the outfits. And Connor's by my side now.
How are you, Connor Crotty from County Clare? All the seas there. Yeah, well.
Well, Ray, how are you keeping?
I'm good, actually. I'm good. I'm a bit worried about you getting rid of the smell of the countryside. It's something that I like. I know I might be on my own on this, but.
As Cara said, we're trying to save the women of Ireland by stopping the washing lines getting riddled.
And what's the future? So this is your second year. You've put an awful lot of work into this over the last couple of years. Where do you hope it goes?
I suppose the hope is to be able to do this in a larger scale and produce our biochar in hopefully a factory someday. So if you ever get sick of RTE, we'll give you a job producing this.
Would you? Yeah. Yeah, well, I could do marketing or something like that. Connor.
I suppose a bit of PR or something,
a bit of,
you know.
PR, yes. That'd be the PRO. What would you call the company?
I suppose you could just call it Biolizer.
Yeah, Biolizer doesn't have a nice ring to it, yeah.
Well, you might give us a few hints about what
you
might call
it. I'll work on that. Now, I'll have to invoice you if I give you ideas, of course, Connor. That's the way. Sinead was talking to another group earlier on, and they're not in it for the profit. They're there to change the world.
Well, no, we're just in it for the crack. That's why we're in it. just for the criminal banter.
The criminal. And what about that banter? And is there a disco at the end of all this, or is there?
I think there is. Or into the early hours in the morning, I'd be hoping.
Yes. Okay. And how are your moves, Connor?
Oh, scandalous.
Are all ye 5th years or 6th years?
No, we're in our leaving cert year now, so big pressure's on with the mocks after this.
Yes, I can see that this is a nice little respite from all of that.
Tis, yeah, a bit of a holiday.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely do the Young Scientists, yes. We'll be up there in Dublin, away from...
Yeah.
And how is it going? How are your preparations going for the mocks?
Well, tis grand. I won't get too stressed anyway. We'll see when the time comes.
You don't sound like a man who gets stressed at all.
No.
And what's... Because the CAO has to be filled in soon, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. That'll be in February. But you can change your mind then again in June or July. So we'll see you closer to the time. I'm hoping agricultural science.
Agricultural science, right. Whereabouts? Yeah. Which university?
Hope and Cork, but sure, the pints are a bit high, but we'll see how it goes.
Right. And what about Keane and Cara? It's mad that you all are C's, isn't it? Cara, Keane and Connor.
Yeah, CCC. So yeah. Keane's getting the headphones now. He's going to tell us what he wants to do after the leaving cert.
Yeah. So it's Cara, Keane and Connor from a community college in Clare. Keane, what's your ambition then?
I'd be hoping to go into construction now.
Right, and is that in the family?
Not really, no, but it's my interest anyway, so.
Yeah, well, we're going to be building houses for a long time to come. It's not going away.
Oh yeah, definitely, 100%.
It's steady. And when you say construction, what, like, is it developing or bricklaying or carpentry or...
I'm kind of looking at quantity surveying.
Yeah.
You know, a clean enough job, good money and stuff.
All right, you've sussed this out. And Cara's beside you there. We go back to Cara. So, Cara, have you thought about your CAO application yet?
Yeah, I'm looking at a business course in Limerick that looks very nice. So we'll see how, if I get my points for that.
And what sort of business would you like to see yourself in a few years' time?
I think at the moment I do general business, but I like the idea of maybe human resource or advertising or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Well, how many are in St. Joseph's?
Oh, we're a very small school now. I think we've only around 150 students in our school. So that's it, yeah. There's only 36 in our year. So, yeah, and it's one of the biggest years. So, yeah, we're low in numbers, but we're doing very well for ourselves above here. So we're very proud of it.
Well, that's a great achievement for such a small... I was in a very small school as well. There are advantages, aren't there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Sure. We know everybody. We had first years and second years above visiting us today now. And sure, we know them all very well. And it's lovely, like, you'd meet everybody and you know everybody.
And it's a close-knit community. And
definitely, yeah.
You probably get more attention, whether you like it or not, from the teachers.
So
business it is. And what's the ratio, what's the divvy out between girls and boys
In our school?
Yes.
I'd say it's fairly even. There might be more girls in the school, alright, but you know, everyone gets on anyway, so it's good. Right.
So fingers crossed for tomorrow evening when the results are announced. How did you do last year?
We did very well last year, actually. We won the Jack Reston Display Award and we were highly commended for our project. So we were told to come back this year, so you never know, we might do a bit better this year again.
So you were told to come back, nudge, nudge, yes, wink, wink.
Yeah.
If you continue this level, you might be a winner next year. Yes, a big winner.
Yeah.
Will you be nervous?
Not really, no.
No.
We're not, no.
No,
just enjoy it.
You're all very relaxed there.
Yeah.
The three C's. And
Ray, they have a very impressive display this year as well. They've got some really nice paintings as part of it.
Right.
Cara might tell us more.
Yes, we have lovely Ukrainian students in our school, Daria, Kate and Paulina, who helped us do our design board. Really talented artists. So, yeah, we really thank them for the work that they put into this as well.
Well, listen, whatever happens, enjoy the rest of it. Conor Crotty, Cian McInerney and Cara Killeen, thank you so much from St. Joseph's Community College. Thank you. Good luck with it.
Bye,
Sinead and Unicorn, thanks for finding those people. I really enjoyed that chat. Thanks, Sinead.
Thanks so much.
Right, Sloan. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way on Drive Time. When we are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.